نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Then to continue with Lum'at al-I'tiqad, the book of Creed and Belief compiled by the Imam Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan hafidahullah. And before I forget, I'm supposed to announce that as for those of you who take the questions and answers of the internet, of the Salafi talk, then there's something is still not working properly. The things are there, but you can't access them at the moment. So if you want to get hold of the things on paper, then you have to speak to Brother Nasser, who's round about here, inshallah. If you want the questions, no answers and the like on paper, it's still being prepared. And for the time being, you can refer to the Brother, inshallah. And with regard to what we had last week, and who can, and that being pages 244 to pages 249 of the Egyptian edition, and who can remember of the ten companions promised paradise, how many of them were from the Muhajireen? How many of those ten were from the Muhajireen?
All of them.
All of them from Quraysh, and all of them were from the Muhajireen. Radiallahu anhu. Who can secondly remember an evidence for what was stated that Ukasha ibn Nushfan radiallahu anhu was a person of Jannah, he will be a person in paradise? What's the evidence for that? Because we had the point from Shaykh al-Fawzan that we don't state that anyone is in paradise without an evidence. So what is the evidence with regard to the companion Ukasha specifically?
The Prophet can invoke Allah to be among the 70,000.
Yeah. Famous authentic hadith of the 70,000, hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim and others. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the 70,000 who would enter paradise, that from his nation there would be 70,000 who would enter paradise without any reckoning and without any punishment. And he wanted to describe them. So at the end of the narration, Ukasha radiallahu anhu, he said, O Messenger of Allah, make dua to Allah that I should be from them. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, You are from them. Who can remember an evidence that Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, two grandchildren of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are people of paradise?
The Prophet said that these two will be the leaders of the youth in the Paradise.
Saying of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, that they will be the two leaders or the two noble chiefs from the youths of the people of Paradise. Likewise, we have that Thabit ibn Qais radiallahu anhu is a person of Jannah, a person of Paradise. What's the evidence for that? In the famous hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, a Muslim, Thabit ibn Qais was known as the speaker, the orator or spokesman for the Ansar. It's mentioned about him that he had a loud voice. So when the ayah from Surah Al-Hujurat came down, the forbiddance of raising the voice above the voice of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stayed in his house and he was afraid that the ayah referred to him. So then Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam missed him. So he asked about him when he found out that he was remaining in his house for fear that he would raise his voice above the voice of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was afraid that he would therefore be from the hypocrites. So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that rather you are from the people of Jannah, you are from the people of Paradise. Hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he mentioned the reason why we do not say that individuals are in paradise or fire. An individual is in the paradise or in the fire without a text. What was the reason he mentioned for this? Why don't we say so? What is it a matter? Yeah, this is a matter of the ghaib, a matter of the hidden and the unseen. Who in the next life will be in Jannah? Who in the next life will be in the fire? May Allah save us from it. And we don't know, it's a matter of the unseen. And all we can see in this world is people's outward actions. And even if we see, as Shaykh al-Fawzan made the point, even if we see good from a person, that still doesn't permit us to say he's a person of paradise, because we do not know what the person's conclusion will be, how he will end up. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, also made a point with regard to a person who commits an act of apostasy, or just one of those nawafid of Islam. What do we say about a person who does that? An act of apostasy? Or an action which breaks a person's Islam? What do we say about that person? Believer? Believer deficient in Iman? Or what do we say about him? Yeah. We say he's a kafir. That person is a kafir who does that. A person who commits apostasy, something that's a certain act of apostasy, or something that one of those actions that the scholars have mentioned, to break a person's Islam, by doing them he leaves Islam, then we say that he is a kafir, unbeliever. What do the people of the Sunnah say about a person who commits a major sin? Murder, or stealing, or so on and so on. A major sin, a kabira. What do the people of the Sunnah say about him?
Jalla al-Mashiyyuh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt he's a believer, deficient in Iman. Or put another way, same thing but worded slightly differently. Mu'minun naqis or Iman, or same thing that Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, summarized what the earlier scholars mentioned, that they say about him that he is a believer in accordance with his Iman, fasiq, a sinner in accordance with his sin. In accordance with the level of his Iman, he is a believer. In accordance with the level of that, he is a sinner, a fasiq, in accordance with the level of his major sin, of his kabira. This saying is in opposition to which groups?
The Khawarij and the Mu'tazila.
Yeah. This is in opposition to the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. What do they say? What do the Khawarij say about a person who is guilty of major sin?
He's a disbeliever, a dissenter for the fires of hell forever.
Yeah. The Khawarij, I say that a person who is guilty of major sin, then he is a kafir. He's left Islam, he's a kafir, and the next life he'll be in the hellfire forever. What about the Mu'tazila? How does the Mu'tazila differ with that thing?
He's not a mu'min, and he's not a kafir, he's if he dies upon it, he'll be kafir in the fire forever.
Yeah. But the Mu'tazila, their innovative saying, is that they say he is not a believer, he has exited from Iman. He's left Iman, he's not a believer anymore, but he has not entered into Kufr. So he's in this zone in between, this manzila bayna manzila tain, which they innovated, this position between the two positions. And they say that if he dies so, he'll be an unbeliever in the fire forever. So with regard to what happens in the hereafter, they agree with the Khawarij. Who can remember the group, the other deviant group, who are at the opposite extreme? The opposite extreme to the
Muslim.
And the opposite to them are the Murji'ah. Those who say that actions are not from Iman. So that therefore, a person who is guilty of major sin, this does not damage his Iman. Action, and committed major sins, and right, it's something separate to Iman. That when a person has Iman, then sins will not damage it. And that a person, no matter how wicked he is, if he's got the basis of Iman, then he's the same as every other believer. So the most wicked person who commits the most wicked acts and sins and acts of disobedience and major sins, his Iman is the same as the Iman of the best of the people. That's the same as the Murji'ah. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he mentioned some evidences at the end of what he brought some ahadith which prove, from the many evidences that there are, which prove the position of the people of the Sunnah. Who can remember at least something from those evidences that he brought?
Mentioned in the one hadith that when Allah would say take out the hellfire, the one who is at the site must have seen of Iman.
Yeah. No. Amongst them is that Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Allah the Most High will command to take out of the fire one who has the slightest mustard seed of Iman in his heart. Take him out from the fire. So this is the evidence against all of those three sects. It's a proof against the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, those who say that a person has made a sin, that he'll be in the hellfire forever. And that they say that anyone who enters the hellfire, he will never come out. So that hadith is a proof against them. Likewise, it's a proof against the Murji'ah, those who say when a person's got Iman, then evil actions will not harm him. And then the Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he continues, and whilst in this edition is page, this Egyptian edition is page 249, on the Saudi edition is page 244, and on the newly appeared Egyptian photocopied edition, Mark 2, then I don't know what page it is. But anyway, on page 249 of this edition, there comes a title, Wujub al-Hajj wal-Jihad ma'a kulli imamin barran kana aw fajiran. This being a title introduced into the book, this is not from the text of the book. This in Sheikh al-Fawzan's edition, this is introduced here, it's the title. In the editions of the book, with the text clearly marked out, this is not from the original text of the book, it's like a title to show us this is a new section here, or a new subsection. وجوب الحج والجهاد مع كل إمام برا كان أو فاجرا. The obligation of the Hajj and Jihad along with every ruler, whether he is righteous or sinful. Then there comes the saying of the Imam Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, وَنَرَى الْحَجَّ وَالْجِهَادَ مَاضِيَيْنِ مَعَ كُلِّ إِمَامٍ. And we hold that the Hajj and Jihad continue along with every ruler. And in the different editions of the book, there's slightly different wording. There are very, very slight differences, but it's almost the same. So he said, and we hold that the Hajj and Jihad continue along with every ruler. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, said in explanation, so from the fundamentals of the creed and belief of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is the obligation of obedience to those in authority over the affairs of the Muslims. وتحريم الخروج عليهم. And there's a wow dropped out of the text here. وتحريم الخروج عليهم. And the forbidden of rebelling against them and of disobeying them and of opposing them in anything which is not disobedience to Allah, the Perfect and Most High. So just repeat that because it's important. The Shaykh mentioned, so from the fundamentals, the usul of the creed and belief of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is the obligation of obedience to those in authority over the affairs of Muslims, and the forbiddance of rebelling against them, and of disobeying them, and of opposing them in anything which is not disobedience to Allah the Perfect and Most High. Because that results in concord, in agreement, and unity of the Muslims, and retention of their strength, and because of what disputing causes from harm to the Muslims, the opposite, what will happen with the opposite, and because of what disputing causes from harm to the Muslims, and the overcoming of the enemy, or the enemy overcoming, and other adversities. And the Shaykh said, and from the rights of those in authority of the affairs is the prayer behind them, even if they are fasaqa, even if they are sinners. So from the rights of the rulers is that we pray the salah behind them, even if they are fasaqa, even if they are sinners. There's a small side point here, and with regard to this term fasaqa, the collective term, the singular of which is fasiq, a sinner. And in definition of what is a fasiq, then Shaykh Muhammad Ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he defined this word al-fasiq in his explanation Al-Sharh Al-Mumti' volume 4 page 304. He said al-fasiq fi al-lughati al-kharij, he said the fasiq, the sinful person, the sinner, is one who goes out, literally kharij, one who goes out from something. And he mentions in the language it's used for a seed which comes out from the fruit which comes out from its shell. Then he says, and in the technical sense, see what's important for us, in the technical sense, he says, it is the fasiq is man kharaja min ta'ati Allahi bi fi'li kabiratin duna al-kufr aw al-israr ala saghira. So this term, the fasiq, the sinner, is the person who departs from obedience to Allah by committing a major sin which is less than unbelief, or by persisting upon a lesser sin. And that's the definition of this term, fasiq. So back to what Shaykh al-Fawzan brings, Hafidhullah, he said, and from the rights of those in authority is to perform the prayer behind them, even if they are fasaqa, even if they are sinners, meaning even if they have sins, and major sins, which necessitate their being sinners. As long as it does not reach the level of kufr, of being unbelief, as long as they are not exited from Islam, then their authority remains, and obedience to them is obligatory, and no one refuses to pray behind them except a mubtadi', except an innovator. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded concordance and unity and harmony of the ummah, the nation, beneath the leadership of the one in charge of the affair. Even if he is a person who is sinful in himself, as long as it does not reach the level of unbelief, and even if he is an oppressor and tyrannical, by his seizing the wealth and shedding blood, then that does not make it permissible to oppose him and to rebel against him. And the Shaykh mentions, and the Sahaba, the companions, radiallahu anhum, they prayed the Salah behind those who were in, behind those who were in authority, those who had sins and acts of disobedience which were less than kufr and shirk. And he gives some examples of the, of those leaders, such as Al-Walid ibn Uqba, Al-Walid ibn Uqba, and Al-Hajjaj, and Al-Mukhtar ibn Ubaid, and others, and Ibn Ziyad. And it is not mentioned from anyone from the companions and from the imams that he abandoned praying behind them, especially regarding the major rites such as the two Eid prayers and the Jumu'ah prayer. Likewise with regard to the Hajj, they performed the Hajj with the Salaf, the companions of the Salaf, they performed the Hajj along with them and under their leadership. This was the way of the Salaf, of Salih. This was the way of the pious predecessors, acting upon the instructions left by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was how the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directed his nation when he informed them that that differing was going to occur. He said, مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسِيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا وَلَكِنْ عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever lives long amongst you, then he will see a great deal of differing. However, adhere to my sunnah. In a footnote, they mention the hadith being reported by Imam Ahmad in the Musnad, and they give you all these references to the new editions of the Musnad, and the reference to the old edition is volume 4, page 126. They say, from a hadith of Al-Irbab ibn Sariyah, and it is a hadith which is sahih through its different chains of narration and witnesses. And it's a famous hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave his advice, which they took to be final advice. And the hadith reported by Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, and declared sahih by Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah. Then Shaykh al-Albani continued, he said at the beginning, أُوْثِيكُمْ بِالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ وَإِنْ تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبْدٍ. At the beginning of this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I enjoin you with hearing and obeying, even if a slave becomes your leader. Even if a slave becomes your leader. In a footnote, they refer you to the same, it's the same hadith that we just had. And they also refer you to Sahih Muslim, where a part of the hadith is reported. And Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions another wording of it, and in one narration, وَإِن تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبْدٌ حَبْشِيٌّ كَأَنَّ رَأْسَهُ زَبِيبَةٌ. Even if an Abyssinian slave whose head is as if it were a raisin becomes your leader, you still hear and obey. Upon you is to hear and obey. In a footnote they mention, this is reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith 7142 from a hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. So Shaykh al-Hawzan said, أُوْثِيكُمْ بِالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ وَإِنْ تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبْدٌ فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا فعليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي تمسكوا بها وعضوا عليها بالنواجذ وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور. to the end of the hadith. Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes more of the wording that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I enjoin you to hear and obey, even if a slave becomes your leader. For whoever lives long amongst you, then he will see a great deal of differing. So adhere to my sunnah, and to the sunnah of the rightly guided orthodox khulafa after me. Cling on to it, and bite onto it with your molar teeth, and beware of newly introduced affairs. In the footnote they mention again, reported by Ahmad in the Musnad, it's the same hadith. Hadith Bal-Iraqad Ibn Sariyah, which is Sahih. All these being different relations to the same hadith. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, commented, and from the muhtathat al-umur, from the newly introduced affairs, and the bid'ah, the innovations, is al-khuruj ala a'immat al-muslimin. From these newly introduced affairs and the innovations is rebelling against the rulers of the Muslims and abandoning praying behind them. And it's like from violations. So this is from the innovations. Doing this is from the innovations. فَهَذَا مِنَ الْبِدَعَ السُنَّةُ طَاعَتُهُمْ. And this amma is crept in here, which is not in the Saudi edition. السُنَّةُ طَاعَتُهُمْ. He said the sunnah is to obey them and to pray behind them. وَالْجِهَادُ مَعَهُمْ. And this word is dropped out here. It should be وَالصَّلَاةُ خَلْفَهُمْ وَالْجِهَادُ مَعَهُمْ أَيْضًا. So he said the sunnah is to obey them and to pray behind them and to fight jihad along with them also, if they order the Muslims to go out to fight jihad, or if they command anyone in particular to fight jihad, then that becomes a duty upon them. From obedience to the one in charge of the affairs. And the Shaykh gives the evidence. وَإِذَا اسْتُنْفِرْتُمْ فَانْفِرُوا. This وَإِذَا اسْتُنْفِرْتُمْ, and it's a ra, not a za, there's a dot in this Egyptian edition, which is wrong. وَإِذَا اسْتُنْفِرْتُمْ فَانْفِرُوا. Saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if you are called to go forth to fight, then go forth. In a footnote they mention, they refer it back to the hadith, the same, not this. They got the number of stars mixed up, but it's reported by Imam Ahmad, also reported by Al-Bukhari, which is the correct, it should be this fifth, the last reference on the page, the five stars on there. Ahmad and Al-Bukhari, a hadith 2783, and Muslim from a hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. The Shaykh said, and likewise the Hajj. Likewise the Hajj. We pray behind them. If they command us to go out for jihad, then we fight jihad along with them. And likewise the Hajj. We perform Hajj along with them. The Shaykh said, the rulers used to establish the Hajj, and they had with them acts of disobedience, which were less than kufr, less than unbelief. And they, meaning the Salaf, did not differ with them. And they did not say, we will not accept Hajj along with them. They did not say this. This is a proof for this tremendous matter. I mean, the fact that the companions and the Tabi'een and the early generations, even though sometimes they had rulers over them who were wicked and oppressive by that evil acts which they committed, then nobody said, we will not perform Hajj behind them, we will not pray behind them, and so on. The Shaykh said, so this is a proof for this tremendous matter. It is the opposite of what the misguided sects are upon, which want to break up Islam and the Muslims with the claim of ghira, jealousy or enthusiasm. And al-ghira, jealousy, or means jealousy or enthusiasm for Islam. They say we are so enthusiastic for Islam, or we are so jealous for Islam that we want to, that we oppose these rulers. Out of our jealousy they claim for Islam. So the Shaykh said, describing exactly how they are, he said, the opposite of what the misguided sects are upon, which want to break up Islam and the Muslims, with the claim of jealousy or enthusiasm. And jealousy or enthusiasm is not like this. This is not from jealousy or enthusiasm. Rather it is from al-bid'ah. It is from innovation. And the Shaykh said, and it is obligatory to give nasiha, to give sincere advice to those in charge of the affairs in the manner which is befitting, which will cause them to have love for good, and which will cause them to beware of evil. So giving sincere advice is obligatory in the legislated ways. We do not say silence is to be observed regarding their mistakes and their violations. And this is not the same for the people of the Sunnah, that whatever the rulers commit, then the scholars keep silent about it, even in private. No, the Shaykh said, no, this is not the correct thing. He said, we do not say silence is to be observed regarding their mistakes and their violations. Rather, they are to be advised in the manners which are befitting, in which the Salaf gave advice to those in authority over the affairs, without making criticism of them open and apparent. This was the Salaf, not upon that. Openly criticizing rulers in public, making criticism of them open and apparent, the Salaf not upon that. So Shaykh said, giving advice to those in authority of the affairs without making criticism of them open and apparent, or speaking about them in gatherings or other than this, since this is not from the way of the Salaf, and this will not bring about good, rather it will only increase the evil. However, if sincere advice is delivered to them confidentially, so that it remains private between them and the one who is giving the advice, that is the way of the Salaf, and this is the methodology of the Salaf al-Salih, of the pious predecessors. So if they accept, I mean if the rulers, the person of knowledge goes to advise them in private in that way, if the ruler accepts it, he said, if they accept, then all praise is for Allah. And if they do not accept it, then the person has fulfilled his duty, and their responsibility will be upon them. However, welfare lies in obedience to them, and welfare lies in agreeing with them whenever they agree to the truth. Tremendous benefits result from this. And overlooking some of their errors and lapses, this is a case of taking on the lesser of two evils in order to repel the greater of two evils. The Shaykh has made the point that the people of knowledge, they advise those in authority who need to be advised, and they advise them. Either they accept it or they don't accept it. And a further point, that sometimes some of the slips which they make need to be overlooked. Some of them need to be overlooked. As he said, and this is a case of taking on the lesser of two evils to repel the greater of two evils. Can he explain why this is the case? And what's the alternative then? He said, since rebelling against them and removing the hand from obedience necessitates harmful consequences, and the shedding of blood, and the splitting of unity, and evils which are more than the private evils, particular to those in authority. In the fact that if some of those in authority had their personal sins, their private sins, rebelling against them would produce far greater evils. Then he said, and therefore the Salaf, rahimahumullah, may Allah have mercy upon them, avoided challenging the rulers. They avoided opposing them, and they prayed behind them, and they performed Hajj along with them, and they fought jihad along with them, while knowing that after the rightly guided Khulafa and after Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, rulers came who had such and such and such with them. They had some good and they had some evil, and amongst them were those whose portion of evil was greater. In the early times, the times of the Salaf, after the four Khulafa, after the rightly guided Khulafa and after Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, after them came rulers who had some good and had some bad. And amongst the rulers in that time were some whose good, whose evil was greater than their good. The Shaykh said, yet despite this, the Muslims still used to gather around their rulers. This is the methodology of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. But as for the position of the opposing sect, then a mention of that will follow. You know, and Sheikh already indicated something from it, those who have introduced this innovation of rebelling against the rulers, the rulers who have acts of disobedience or acts of wickedness, rebelling against them. Then to continue with the quote of the Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah, because his quote continues here, having already said, وَنَرَى الْحَجَّ وَالْجِهَادَ مَاضِيَيْنِ مَعَ كُلِّ إِمَامٍ بَرًّا كَانَ أَوْ فَاجِرًا. That we hold, and we hold that the Hajj and the Jihad continue along with every ruler, whether he is righteous or sinful, whether he is righteous or a sinful person. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, Barran, if the ruler is Barran, righteous, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning one who acts upon righteousness, which is acts of obedience, and is upright upon obedience to Allah. This, if it is present, then there is no doubt that it is better and more complete. If the ruler is like that, no doubt that that's better, that's more complete. Aw fajiran, or he is a sinful person. Shaykh Fawzan said, and he is the fasiq, the sinner. And he explains, al-fujur, the acts of sin. What is meant by sinfulness here? Al-fujur, acts of sin, is what is meant by sinfulness here. It does not mean the wickedness of kufr, unbelief. I mean, when we say here, we obey the rulers, we perform Hajj and Salah and Jihad among the rulers, whether they be righteous or they are a fajir, a sinful one. He makes clear what is meant by sinful here is, as he said, acts of sin. It is not the wickedness which is kufr, unbelief. As for if he becomes an unbeliever, then there is no obedience to him. And that's a point which, in the previous quote from Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, made the point there that fisq is used for two things. Fisq is used, as a person is described as fasiq, with the meaning that he is a person who commits major sins, or persists upon minor sins. And he then, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen mentioned, and secondly, it's applied to the kafir, a fasiq, meaning the kafir, the wickedness of unbelief. So Shaykh al-Fawzan makes the point here, that's not what's being referred to here in the text. So we perform Hajj and Jihad and Salat along with the rulers, even if they are wicked, it doesn't mean even if they become unbelievers, no. Then the Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he continued, وَصَلَاتُ الْجُمُعَةِ خَلْفَهُمْ جَائِزَةٌ. And the Jumu'ah prayer is permissible behind them. And the Jumu'ah prayer is correct behind them. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, the Salaf used to pray behind their rulers. And the rulers used to lead them in the Jumu'ah prayer and the Eid prayer. And it is not mentioned from anyone from them that he stayed away from the prayer because of the sinfulness of the ruler or his oppression. Because they, if they carry out obedience to Allah, then you should obey Allah along with them and pray along with them. The prayer is worship. Because in praying along with them, this will bring about unity. Prayer along with them will bring about unity. Then the next part of the text is a narration. The Imam Ibn Qudama rahimahullah said, قَالَ عَنَثٌ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ثَلَاثٌ مِنْ أَصْلِ الْإِيمَانِ الْكَفُّ عَنْ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَلَا نُكَفِّرُهُ بِذَنْبٍ وَلَا نُخْرِجُهُ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ بِعَمَلٍ وَالْجِهَادُ مَاضٍ مُنْذُ بَعَثَنِي اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ حَتَّى يُقَاتِلَ آخِرُ أمتي الدجال لا يبطله جار جائر ولا عدل عادل والإيمان بالأقدار رواه أبو داود. And as we will see, this hadith is supported by Abu Dawud. This is a hadith which is weak, judged by Shaykh al-Albani and others come to be a weak hadith. So just we bear that in mind. So the Imam, with regard to the first part, saying of the Imam Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, قال أنس رضي الله عنه قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثلاث من أصل الإيمان الكف عن من قال لا إله إلا الله. He said, أنس رضي الله عنه said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, three things are from the foundation of Iman: refraining from whoever says none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. That three things are from the foundation of Iman, true faith. The first of them, refraining, meaning not harming, whoever says La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, whoever says La ilaha illallah, whoever says none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, it is obligatory to refrain from him unless and until something becomes clear from him which contradicts this saying, from the types of apostasy, from the types of apostasy. So if he commits something from the types of ridda, apostasy, after he has said La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, then we judge him to have apostatized, to have become an apostate. As for if nothing appears from him, nothing contrary to this saying appears from him, then he is a Muslim. There is for him whatever there is for the Muslims, and there is upon him whatever duty is upon the Muslims. And we do not seek out what is within the heart. The heart, their affair is for Allah. Their affair is for Allah. And he gives evidence for that. He, from Allah, said, أمرت أن أقاتل الناس حتى يقولوا لا إله إلا الله فإذا قالوها أقموا مني دماءهم وأموالهم إلا بحقها وحسابهم على الله عز وجل. He said, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have been commanded to fight against the people until they say none has a right to be worshipped except Allah. So if they say it, then they have rendered their blood and their wealth safe from me, except with a right of it. And their reckoning will be with Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. In a footnote they mentioned, reported by Ahmad and reported by Abu Bukhari, that's hadith 6924, and Muslim from a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. So with regard to the next line of the saying of the Imam, وَلَا نُكَفِّرُهُ بِذَنْبٍ وَلَا نُخْرِجُهُ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ بِعَمَلٍ. And we do not declare him to be an unbeliever because of a sin. And we do not cast him out of Islam because of an action. Or is this all falling on from the first part? Withholding from whoever says La ilaha illallah, none has right to be worshipped except Allah. And we do not declare him to be an unbeliever because of a sin. And we do not cast him, we do not throw him out of Islam because of an action. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this hadith is da'if, this hadith is weak. So Shaykh al-Fawzan himself comments upon the hadith, this hadith Abu Dawud, and says this hadith is weak. However, some of it, however parts of it, agree with the authentic ahadith. What is contained in it, parts of what is contained in it, are supported by authentic narrations. He said, ثَلَاثٌ مِنْ أَصْلِ الْإِيمَانِ الْكَفْتُ عَمَّنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Three things are from the foundation of Iman, refraining from whoever says none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. Shaykh al-Azam said, this is from the foundation of Iman. Until something appears which is contrary to this saying. وَلَا نُكَفِّرُهُ بِذَنْبٍ. And we do not declare him to be an unbeliever because of a sin. Shaykh Ramzan said, as long as he does not declare it to be lawful. There's an important point in here. In the person who commits the sin, we don't declare him to be an unbeliever because of his committing the sin. As long as he doesn't declare it lawful. And the Shaykh makes a further clarification, meaning that which is less than shirk, means that his sins which are less than shirk, then we do not declare him to be a kafir, an unbeliever, as long as he does not declare it permissible. His examples, such as taking riba, taking usury. If a person takes usury, riba, this is a tremendous sin, and a major sin from the kabair of dhunub, from the major sins. However, if the person says it is halal, it's permissible to take riba, usury, then he is a kafir, an unbeliever. Because Allah has made riba, usury forbidden. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared it forbidden. And the nation is united in consensus, ijma', that it is forbidden. However, if he just takes it whilst acknowledging that it is forbidden, then this is a fasiq. This is a sinful person. Likewise, the thief and the zani, the fornicator and the wine drinker, on account of doing the action alone, we do not declare him to be an unbeliever. However, if he believes, or if he says that it is halal, it is permissible, it's lawful, then we judge him to be an unbeliever, because he is belying Allah and his messenger. He is denying the truthfulness of Allah and his messenger. And so if a person commits even these major sins, then we say that he is a sinful person. But as soon as he believes or says that it's lawful to do so, we say he is an unbeliever. وَلَا نُخْرِجُهُ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ بِعَمَلٍ. the phrase, and we do not throw him out from Islam because of an action. Shaykh al-Baghdan said, what is meant by an action is that which is less than shirk. Then the saying of the Imam, وَالْجِهَادُ مَاضٍ مُنْدُ بَعَثَنِيَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلُ حَتَّى يُقَاتِلَ آخِرُ أُمَّتِي الدَّجَّالِ. And jihad continues from the time when Allah the Mighty and Majestic sent me until the last of my nation will fight against the Dajjal. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, likewise this sentence, which is that jihad will continue until the last of this nation fight against the Dajjal. This is witnessed to by the authentic ahadith. The first part, the first phrase, is witnessed to by the authentic narration. Likewise, this phrase is witnessed to by authentic narration. And the final part of the hadith, لَا يُبْخِلُهُ جَوْرُ جَائِرٍ وَلَا عَدْرُ عَادِلٍ وَالْإِيمَانُ بِالْأَقْدَارِ رواه Abu Dawood. Saying of the Imam, it will not be invalidated, as we continue about jihad, it will not be invalidated by the tyranny of a tyrannical one, nor by the justice of one who is just, and Iman in everything that has been decreed, reported by Abu Dawood. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, Iman in al-Qadr, pre-decree, it has already preceded that it is from the fundamentals of Iman, true faith, in the hadith of Jibreel, famous hadith of Jibreel. وَأَنْ تُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدَرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ, and that you truly believe in pre-decree, the good of it and the bad of it. In a footnote they mention that the checking of this has already proceeded, this hadith has already proceeded, and in this Egyptian edition it proceeded on page 23 and page 157, and it's a part of the famous hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, reported by Ahmad and Muslim as hadith number 8, and of Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, the famous hadith of Jibreel. And just finally, with regard to the narration, as he said, reported by Abu Dawood, then as we heard, Shaykh al-Fawzan himself, Hafiz of Allah, he said this hadith is da'if, even though it's part of the witness to by authentic narrations, but this, as the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here, is a narration which is not of his unauthentic weak. Likewise, the Shaykh Badr al-Badr, in his checking of the book, he mentioned his chain of narration is da'if. Hadith Abu Dawud, his chain of narration is da'if. It contains the narrator Yazid ibn Abi Nushba. Yazid ibn Abi Nushba, who is majhoor, who is unknown, as Ibn Hajar mentioned in At-Taqrib and others. So in other words, the narration is weak, but the parts of the hadith are witnessed to, as the Shaykh indicated, by other authentic narrations. As for what follows, and we'll leave it till next time, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? Obviously, on this major point, the point of obedience to the laws and authority over the Muslims, and the evidences for that are many, many authentic hadith in that regard. Sheikh was using it to refer to the same thing, but beyond that, Allah.
Explain behind the Amir, is a similar ruling applies to the common person in terms of if he has a kufr, obviously we don't pray behind the Imam. But the people are common people. Is the same apply to the common people? We don't pray behind them because they are fasiq, and they are like at the time of the Imam Ahmad. Is there something to pray behind those who used to say Quran is polluted?
The point that the Shaykh made is that the Salaf used to pray behind the rulers. As long as the rulers remained upon Islam, and the Salaf would pray behind them. Even if the rulers were wicked, even if the rulers committed major sins, even if the rulers beat the believers, imprisoned the believers, killed some of the believers, killed some of the scholars, and the scholars still used to pray behind them. Like we mentioned Al-Hajjaj, for example, and others. Even with those, whatever they committed, that did not stop the companions, the Tabi'een, Atsar Tabi'een, from praying behind them. They still pray behind them. And they mentioned that if they do obedience to Allah, then you obey Allah along with them. And if they pray, I was either, as some of them mentioned, when there was times of rebellions appeared, then he mentioned if they call you to the prayer, then go to the prayer along with them. If they call you to killing your brother, then ignore it, you know, keep away from it. Allah Allah, be on that. And the Shaykh made the distinction that obedience is there along with their sins, along with their major sins, we still have obedience to them. As long as they're within Islam, then we still obey them. Still pray behind them, still pray Jumu'ah behind them, and so on. Perform Hajj along with them, perform the Jihad along with the rulers. Yeah. Even some of those rulers who had sayings which had within them unbelief, such as the saying of the creation of the Qur'an, the scholars like Imam Ahmad and others, they made excuse for them. They made excuse. The excuse of ignorance for them. That they were misled by evil doers from the innovators, and misled them, led them into believing, led those rulers into believing that was the truth, and gave them false evidences. So they found an excuse for those rulers, and still called them chief of the believers. Still gave them their obedience. Allahu Akbar. Obviously contrary to what is very common these days, so common that it's all over the place, and the so many places are infested with it, this evil innovation, as I shall put it, the innovation of rebellion against the rulers because of sins being seen from them. Such and such rulers have disobeyed Allah, therefore we overthrow him and rebel against him. Allah understand this evil innovation which causes just bloodshed from the earliest times, from the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, when the Khawarij opposed him, right till this time of ours. When that door was opened, then bloodshed has always resulted from that time till this time, and will continue. Allah Almighty.
What about women rulers in the Muslim land? Women rulers. Pakistan,
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك 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 اللهم. How many years from before? We've been on the wrong way for how long now? Yeah. This is all.